Hey, this is Gunsully in Washington, D.C. for the music.thepodcast.com music podcast. And for our first actual interview with a band, we have from Oregon. Are you guys from Portland?
Portland, Oregon.
The Slants. Would you all like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Simon, founder and bassist of the band.
Awesome.
What's going on? I'm Ken, the lead singer.
Hey guys, my name is Yuya and I'm the drummer.
Joe, guitarist.
Awesome. Great to meet you all. And this is very exciting because I gotta say, like, I've listened to some of your music and I like it. You guys actually legitimately rock. So it is an honor to have you not only here in Washington, D.C., but in my car where it's kind of an ongoing joke where Tech and I always record our podcasts in cars, respectively.
It's like, Seinfeld's got that comedy show in cars.
Yes, yeah.
You got a new niche here.
Yes, it's...
Podcasts in cars.
Are you going to get coffee or something?
Do we need coffee? Is coffee a thing? Is coffee happening?
We don't need coffee.
Musicians and lifts getting...
Yes.
Lattes.
Getting protesting.
Dim sum.
Dim sum. I don't know if we have any really good dim sum places around here. If we do, it's right here in Chinatown.
We had a okay place in Arlington, but there's a good spot. It was near the Eden.
Eden Center.
There was some okay stuff, but we had a pretty good place in Chinatown called China Boy.
Right there.
Okay. We have China Boy right here, right across the street. They got noodles and other stuff, good stuff.
So to tell you, the thing in D.C., in the D.C. area, is big is fall for Asian cuisine. And we have a few huge Korean communities. So we have Vietnamese and Korean are like two big Korean barbecues and Vietnamese pho places.
I really like that too.
Yes, and real hidden, but like completely randomly, there are a few awesome Filipino places, like Purple Patch here in D.C., POM in Cherrydale in Arlington, and I blanked on the name of the place, but it's in Oxon Hill, I think North Star Diner. Like I said, total random places you'll bump into a Filipino flag over a restaurant. You're like, oh, wow, okay.
Balut?
Yes. I don't think you can get balut here in America, but you could get lumpia, pancit. They got some great dishes. POM Market. Yeah, I think you'd have to go to some back room to get balut here.
Yeah, I don't think I want.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm actually good. I would want to know if they don't serve it there, so I can go in there.
Yeah. That's the thing. Everyone always talks about balut like it's this thing like, oh, Americans freak out when they hear about balut. But in the Philippines, it's not like a huge deal. Like, it's not like there's a McDonald's and then there's like a aborted duck egg, you know, like the poster. It's like, no, it's honestly, it's something you're supposed to only eat at night. Because it's like a sinful thing. Anyway, you know, it's not a big deal. So it's like I was over in the Philippines. I never saw one.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we were in Taiwan. We were trying to find bull penis soup. It's actually very hard to find. Like, we searched all over the island for
and
that.
And you're not supposed to eat it at night.
No,
you're supposed to eat it at night because it's not for media.
So you're supposed to, like, eat it out in the open, flopping around there.
Well, apparently you got to go to market and cook it yourself because very few people serve it.
One of our friends, or Simon's cousin, actually was talking to the cab driver, and he was like, where can we get some? And he's like, you can go buy some and make it yourself. And we're like, what?
Can I just say, is it like, look at all the road closures. There's no clarification as to where the road closures are. This is what drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Also, why? Because the inauguration's not happening for, like, six more days.
It's because they got some food in that Joy Luck House right in Chinatown.
Yes. Everybody, we're going to go eat. turn off your radios and block the road. We are going to eat. Okay. So, I know why you're out here, but would you please tell the listeners why you guys are in this fine city with all the road closures?
We are going to the U.S. Supreme Court, actually this Wednesday. Arguing our case before the court, Lee versus Tam. It's a fun little case about free speech and trademark law.
Okay, now this is because of the name of your band, right?
The Slants, yes.
Okay, which, similar to this city's fine, upstanding and always winning football team, the Redskins, I'm a little bitter. I really wanted to root for them. Anyway, it's because it's technically what many would consider a racial slur.
The big difference is that people don't consider our name to be a racial slur. Mm. Slant means many different things, whereas the football team's name...
Your name is geometric.
What's that?
Your name could be geometric.
It could be often like to say it's about perspective. It's our slant on life of what it's like to be Asian Americans as people of color in this country.
Is this guy, what's he doing? Like, why is he... Okay. I think he needs to be a little more aggressive. I'm sorry.
He's just hanging out. And the cops are like, yeah, let's clear it out.
So, yeah, okay. So your name could be, your particular incline on issues relating to you. And of course there's the, as you mentioned, the racial element to it. So that's got a few different levels, a few different dimensions to your name. And it's clearly not just you guys going, ha ha ha, we're making fun of Asians. Because that doesn't really make sense.
No, like, we're not racist towards ourselves. That'd be stupid.
Now, who is Lee?
Lee, that's Michelle Lee. She's the director of the Patent and Trademark Office.
Oh, okay. Well, coming from the South, where, like, Lee Highway is a thing, I know it's not necessarily an Asian name, but is Lee Asian?
She's an Asian American.
Okay.
But the case started before she was appointed into that role, so she kind of inherited that one.
Okay. That's, So this is quite the multidimensional case that so we have an Asian prosecutor taking on an Asian band over the name of the Slants.
Well, she's not the prosecutor. Signs off on the paperwork. Okay. The Solicitor General, which is kind of the highest ranking attorney in the country, he's actually the one that filed the brief, and he's the one who's going to be arguing it in court in a couple of days.
Okay, Solicitor General. Okay, now let's see here. We've been rerouted. I keep giving out loud explanations as to why we're going through random parts of the city here. Are you guys familiar with the city at all? Okay.
Very little.
I can give you guys when you're not on your way to the Supreme Court. And what are we doing at the Supreme Court right now? Because this is a few days before your case.
We're gonna hang out, play a couple songs, check it out. Okay. Just walk around the steps. Scope out the area.
I can't
Nothing's
wait.
Planned, really.
Yes, yeah. We're just gonna
happen by.
Gonna wing it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Awesome. The city is the capital of cute dogs. Look at that one.
Looks like a piece of carpet.
Yes, that I believe is a doodle of some kind. Some kind of doodle. Something doodle.
Like a labradoodle. Or something.
Yes, but it's too. I think it's too short to be a labradoodle. I think it's a mutt. Anyway. So, this is a free speech issue, I think, number one. Mm-hmm. I think I think there's this very bizarre situation that we have in America. Like, and I really kind of wanted to get your take on this and how your case, like, it's wrong, according to the government, it's wrong for you to call yourself the Slants. Yet, Lil Wayne can refer to himself as an undeniable slur, refer to his co-workers and listeners as a slur in his music. And yet that doesn't get any sort of an eye blink by the government or the culture or the FCC. They just sort of like, okay, we'll just, you know, we'll bleep that and move on. And it's sort of like I think it's a sort of a weird double standard, that it's like, why can't you have the Slants if Lil Wayne and
yeah, I mean, well, I guess for them they say it's trademark registration, so okay. It's a little bit different.
So because he's not technically benefiting directly from that?
All of his music has copyright protection by the government.
So it is.
The government actually stands by his songs, his music, and everything else, and they're saying it's his right, and they're going to protect it. What what we have here is a law that's been on the books for 70 years now, called the Lanham Act. And part of the Lanham Act says that they're not allowed to register trademarks that they consider scandalous, immoral, or disparaging. But the problem is they don't define what any of those words mean. So if one person in the office says, hey, you know what, this is kind of disparaging, then that person can block your business, your art, your nonprofit from getting a registered trademark. And they say, here's the catch, the government says, well, if we got it wrong, you can always appeal. But the problem is nobody has ever won on appeal. Mm. Not a single case has ever won. So it's like telling somebody who's in prison, well, you can always appeal for parole. We're just not going to give it to you. And that doesn't make any sense. And so we've been fighting and fighting and fighting. And finally, last year at the Federal Circuit, that court decided what the trademark office was doing was unconstitutional. It violated our First Amendment rights. And so we won. But the government disagreed with that decision. And so they appealed. And that's why we're going to the Supreme Court now.
Awesome. So you guys aren't just fighting a complete uphill battle. It's a step ladder of like wins.
Yeah,
and,
we're coming off a win.
All right.
Yeah, so awesome. That's good for us, and awesome. That's good for free speech.
All right, taking all bets. You got the incoming or the reigning champ versus the Supreme Court. All right, this is exciting. I gotta say. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gonna try to get here. In the morning to actually watch your Supreme Court case.
Oh, you're gonna...
I'm gonna try to get in there, yeah.
Wait in line and do the whole thing.
Yes, go through the magnetometers and get felt up a little bit. Yeah, yeah, it's always an experience here in D.C.
From what I hear, there might be a little bit of a wait, but...
Yes, yeah. I was told by a lawyer acquaintance that I should show up an hour and a half early, so that's...
We were told like how? At least 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, holy crap!
And people are spending the night out front.
I was about to say, isn't your
bystanders just to be there?
Sheesh. Okay. Well, I might miss your case, but I'll try.
You can swing by and see.
Yeah.
Look. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll Instagram the line outside.
You know, hopefully there isn't a line. Hopefully you can make it. But
yeah,
we just never really know with these kinds of things.
Well, this is This is pretty exciting. Let's see here. We are pulling up to the United States Capitol. So, and the Supreme Court is kind of on the other side.
Yeah, it looks like they're setting up for the inauguration. Stuff,
yes,
right?
There's all sorts of stuff. The Capitol building is where the Vice President and President swear in there, I believe. And then there's further ceremonies at the White House. This whole area is going to be shut down. It's an absolute just crap show.
Taking pictures back here. Don't mind us.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't say bam as you take pictures of federal buildings. You know, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, the NSA does have everything bugged.
Just say hooray.
Yes. Yay! Yay! Another picture, yay!
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so absolute crazy election year. What did you guys think of all that?
I think it was a devastating year. I mean, yes. It was just the country was ripped apart with some pretty difficult conversations. It was a really rough election for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, no matter who you supported, I think we can all agree that the country needs some serious healing from here.
Yeah, I think there's some really weird, like, silver linings, though, that kind of emerge from this, and that very, very weirdly, like, I was not a Trump supporter. If you see anything else on the podcast, you could see that I was very much not a Trump supporter. I wasn't a Hillary supporter, but not a Trump supporter. But
sure.
Trump does kind of... butt heads with the PC culture, which weirdly you guys are finding yourself in a very solid way on, you know, butting heads with the political correctness culture as well, where, you know, if your definition of offensive is spicy food, then, you know, we better censor all the hot tamale signs. And that's kind of weird. That's kind of the weird thing about this election that I think people could be a little, we could sort of have some hope about, is that maybe some things can be resolved that elsewise would not have been resolved, like people being butthurt.
I mean, I think our case is a little complex in that there's some nuance to it, and it shows the importance of protecting free speech, because the communities that need it the most are most affected by the laws that kind of shun it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're definitely, we believe in respectful discourse, and especially with communities that have been marginalized. But at the same time, we need to actually be able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because when you get rid of things like the ability to be ironic or to use a sense of humor, you can really affect, you can really strip away valuable tools to kind of drive that conversation.
So, this is about free speech. This is about the ability to have an open discourse in society. This is about irony and the respect for people's intellectual property. Is that?
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's incredibly... You've come to D.C. at an absolute, the wackiest time, so...
Yeah, it's an interesting time, to say the least, but...
Could I just ask, back to your music, this is such a hackneyed question, but I guess I sort of have to ask it. You guys have a very diverse sound. Mm-hmm. So, what is your favorite, like, band growing up?
My favorite band was The Ramones.
The Ramones. Awesome.
But, you know, we all kind of bring in different elements. We all kind of have our own favorite groups. What about you?
Yeah.
It always depends on the day, and it always depends on my mood. But right now, if I think about it, I guess I'll go with Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Same with Ken. I'm all over the place with music, but one of my favorite bands growing up was 311, just because they preached positivity a lot.
Yeah.
And they're the only band that I know of that went on tour with the Museum of Tolerance, so that was kind of cool.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I have talked a lot of crap on 311 over the years, but you are I like them, though.
I don't like so much. I liked them when they first started coming out.
Right, right. Whenever the song Amber comes on, I'm always like, I don't care what color her energy is.
Right.
No, but that's awesome. And you?
Radiohead. That is the correct answer. Radiohead.
That is the correct answer. That is awesome. All right, we are here at one of the Supreme Court hangout spots outside of the Capitol.
Yeah.
So. And you guys are planning on...
We're just going to walk around and take a look. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Two of the guys haven't had a chance to look at it yet, so...
All right.
Even though we're going to be here Wednesday, we want to be able to take it all in without, like, all the craziness that's there.
Sounds good. And I thank you so much for the interview. And I'm going to continue stalking you guys and driving you around for a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Feel free to hang out.